Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Often in this story, in the 14th chapter of Matthew, we think in terms of Peter's lack of faith. And it's a good Protestant tradition to think to ourselves, you know, if Peter had been just a little better disciple, he probably could have made it all the way to Jesus. Right? It's the Protestant ethic, isn't it? You know, if I just work a little harder and have a little more faith, then I can achieve anything. Well, I don't care how hard we try, we will not walk on water. It's not going to happen. Although I did see a YouTube video one time of a guy who's made shoes that float. And you can sort of walk on the water if you weigh about 12 pounds. One of the functions, I think, of this story is to help us remember who we are in relationship to God. The thing about Peter is that Peter ends up performing exactly what we would expect. He lives out his name. He is a stone, and time again in the Gospel of Matthew, he falls short of what we expect as a disciple. Again and again, Peter doesn't seem to understand what Jesus is trying to say. He doesn't seem to be able to fulfill the expectations that we might have of him as the father of the church, as the great disciple. Early in the morning, Jesus comes walking out to the sea. He has sent them off. Sometimes we overlook that Jesus put them in the boat and sent them to go where? To the other side. What's on the other side? This is not a chicken question. Why did the disciples cross the lake? To get to the other side, right? It's not just that. On the other side are strangers. People who need to hear about Jesus. He's sending them off on a mission trip, and as they're going across the lake, the wind and the waves are against them. And early in the morning, they see Jesus walking out on the water. Matthew portrays this as almost as if it was an ordinary thing. Jesus was there strolling early in the morning on the sea. And they cried out in fear when they saw him. It is a ghost. It has to be. Because people don't walk on water. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you out on the water. And Jesus says, come on. And he sinks. He notices the strong wind and the waves. His focus becomes blurred and he sinks. And as I said to the children, the beauty of this story is that he cries out, Jesus, save me. Now, if this was kind of a Hollywood story, what would happen is that Jesus would, or a good Protestant story, Jesus would reach down, pull Peter up, and say, let me give you enough faith so that you can walk on the water. And then he and Jesus would walk over to the other side. But he doesn't. He grabs Peter and he puts him back into the boat. Now last year, I don't know why I remember this because I don't generally remember anything that I preach. But I remember last year. I don't write it down. Last year, I remember that I talked about how we need to have the courage to get out of the boat sometimes. But sometimes we need to have the courage to stay in the boat. Because the boat is what is getting us to where we're going. That's why Jesus put them in the boat in the first place. Get in the boat and go over to the other side. It's a tool that will take you where I want you to go, where you will proclaim the gospel and grace. If we keep scrambling out of the boat, trying to be like Jesus, or if we keep trying to get out and walk off on our own, if we keep trying to achieve our own stuff and don't remain in the boat, we can't get to where we're going. More importantly, we can't get to where we are sent. The apostles are a sent people, and so are we. Well, these days, it's become rather popular to get out of the boat. Personalized religion, personalized spirituality, I'll just stay home and watch somebody on TV tell me all the wonderful things that are going to happen in my life. What is this room called? Any idea? It's the nave, right? How many did not know that? It's okay. There's no reason you should know that this room is called a nave. If you turned it upside down, what would it be? It would be a boat. Nave is the English version of the Greek word for boat. You are in a boat. I worshiped one time, actually I preached in a congregation in California that was a bunch of Norwegians, and Norwegians love boats. And they built their church as an upside down boat so that you could never forget what a nave is. And so when you look up, you see the splines of the boat and the beautiful woodwork, and it's shaped like a boat. And the altar rail is a pin rail, which on a sailboat is, it has all these little holes in it, right? And that's where you hang the ropes on the pin rails. And the windows are portals. It was really weird. Being a boat person, I loved it. I thought it was great. But it reminded everyone every Sunday that we have been called to go somewhere. You know, part of the problem is that we don't mind being in the boat. We're just not sure that we wanted to go anywhere. We like it in our harbor. It's really nice here. We have boats in the Alawai Harbor who have not moved in 20 years. And what happens to them? Stuff grows to the bottom of them. And the rudder gets encrusted with junk and sea life and seaweed. And pretty soon the engine, which is, or if it has one, if the engine is down in the water, it corrodes away to nothing. And guess what happens? It can no longer move. It can no longer fulfill its mission, which is to go out on the sea. Jesus calls us, like Peter, to remain in the boat and calms the seas just in the same way that God calmed or sent the calm voice to Elijah. And in the silence, Elijah hears the great word. In the same way, we hear the great word in this boat, but if we insist that it just stay anchored, it's not a boat anymore. We've become accustomed to calling the church the house of God. What if instead we thought of it as the ship of God, the vessel of God? Or in some cases, the ship of fools. Remember what Paul called us? Fools for Christ's sake? It is only when the boat is fulfilling its mission, it's only when a boat is moving that it's fulfilling its mission, it's only when it cuts the lines off and goes over to the other side that it is the ship of God. Without that, it's a rotting Hulk. and eventually it will sink. And so, like Peter, we fulfill our mission. We know that we cannot walk on water. We know that we belong in the boat. But we also know that the boat will take us where we are going in the mission of God, and then we will step off onto a new shore and begin to share the Word of God. That's what's so exciting about being in God's ship. We're headed somewhere, and we're headed toward God's people on the other side. We have a mission to fulfill, a gift to give, a life to share. And so, you ship of fools, stay in the boat a little longer and see where God is taking us. It could be really interesting. Amen.